How y'all doing? Great. A couple of you are doing good. The rest of you, you gotta wait for the people to make a decision for you. God gave us a tremendous cure for heart disease over these past number of weeks, and I hope you've enjoyed the series. It's been my prayer that you've gone deeper in your relationship with God as we've walked through this time. This morning, we're finishing up our series of the rewards of some kind of a heart that God gives us. And we're looking today at the reward of a surrendered heart. It's like a little fellow playing with a very valuable vase. And is that vase or vase? Okay, how many of you say vase? How many of you say vase? See? It's divided. So I threw that in just to kind of get the vase has it, though, but a very valuable vase. He was playing with it, and he put his hand into it, and he couldn't get it out. And his father tried his best to get it off, and he, come on, you know, and no avail. And they thought, father's, we're going to have to break this vase. Father said, now, son, let's do one more time. So just stretch out your hand and hold your finger straight out as you see me doing, and then I'm going to pull. And this little guy looked at me and said, Dad, I can't put my fingers out like that, because if I do, I'll drop my dime. We're like that little guy. We have a hard time surrendering what we enjoy holding on to. This morning we're going to look at the reward of a surrendered heart. And I invite you to turn to Job chapter 5 in the Old Testament. Job chapter 5. Great passage in Scripture. A lot has happened to Job. It looks like the word job, by the way, in case you're wondering. Job or Job. Job was his name. I think he had a job. He might have lost it in the scheme of things, but lost his family. He lost a lot of stuff, Job did, and went through a real struggle in his life. And I'm going to pick it up here in Job chapter 5, verse 17. Job even had friends, by the way. Job even had friends who thought they knew what Job should be doing, you know. By the way, Job, if you do this, God will look after you better, you know. It's great to have Christian friends. Job chapter 5, verse 17. Blessed is the man whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. For he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. From 6 calamities he will rescue you. In 7 no harm will befall you. In famine he will ransom you from death, and in battle from the stroke of the sword. You will be protected from the lash of the tongue and need not fear when destruction comes. You will laugh at destruction and famine and need not fear the beasts of the earth. The reward of a surrendered heart brings happiness. It brings happiness. In Job 5:17, blessed is the man whom God corrects. The Amplified puts it, says, this happy and fortunate. When is this man happy and fortunate? The Century Bible, I think, says, uses the word later on. Later on. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, subjecting you to trial and suffering, adds the Amplified. Today you may not clap and you may not cheer and you may not get all excited and enthused, but later on, everybody say later on. Because later on always comes. Somebody has to tell us something now, get us to do something now that's going to make later on more pleasant. Because there are many times where we would have just done what God told us to last year, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in now because it's later on. So if you can start doing what God calls you to do, even if you may not want to do it, you may not like doing it, may not feel good, may hurt, may seem unfair, but down deep inside you know what God is saying, and if you will surrender what He's calling you to do, then later on, could be a month from now, could be next year, you will be saying, I'm so glad I cured my heart disease. I'm so glad. Can everybody say, I'm so glad Some of you got it. You were like the hillbillies yesterday. So glad. We're going to talk about that pipe thing, Bob. An old habit put away, yeah. He surrendered. Believe me, when you surrender your heart, when you surrender your brokenness, when you surrender your experience, when you surrender your hardness, which is what we've discovered in these past weeks, when you surrender, and more of that, your reward truly is happiness. I know of so many circumstances, so many situations in which people have walked with a sense of calmness because they've surrendered their heart. I'm reminded of Psalm 94. Psalm 94, verse 12 in the Amplified says it this way. It says, "But blessed, that is happy and fortunate, to be envied, is the man whom you discipline and instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law." So who's going to be happy? Who's going to be fortunate? Who's going to be so blessed that they're envied? People that God deals with. People that are obedient to God. Those who just do what God says, that have surrendered to God's will because they know that His way is the best. And Psalm 94 goes on in verse 13, and it says, "That you may give him power to keep himself calm in the days of adversity." God's going to deal with us. He's going to deal with us and deal with us and deal with us. And He's going to deal with us until we become so stable, not like the markets today, that we're not just this emotional, all over the place person. We need to have hearts that are so surrendered that when we get around someone who's grouchy, we'll still walk in the Spirit. Some of you are going, "That's every morning for me." When we're around somebody who mistreats us, we will still walk in love. God says, "I'm going to deal with you. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to deal with you until the day comes when no matter what is going on in your life, nothing in your circumstances can rattle you. Nothing will be able to shake you." Doesn't that just make you happy to know that God cares that much about you, that when you surrender to Him, He grants stability in your life? Amen? Blessed is the man whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. God deals with us so that He can get us into a position where He can just bless us outrageously. Trust me, you will get there. Trust me. You will get there if you surrender your will to God. If you will let Him have His way in your life, you will get that blessedness. For some of you, it may even be as simple as just separating yourself from some of those bad influences in your life that you're just hanging on to. God's called you to surrender. You just keep hanging on, holding on to it. It's just kind of like Peanuts cartoon. Look at this. "So you think the world is getting better?" Charlie Brown says. "Well, if you've got so much confidence in the world's getting better, how come you hang on to that blanket?" Touche. I love this passage in the Amplified. "Happy and fortunate is the man whom God reproves. So do not despise or reject the correction of the Almighty, subjecting you to trial and suffering." There's so many ways that God calls us to surrender. He calls us, surrender that relationship. Don't you be trying to fix it all the time. Don't you be going around saying, "Hey, can you fix this?" Surrender it to God. Let God fix it. Because He can do far better than you can anyway. Maybe you're tempted to just keep some matter in your own hand. "Well, if God's not going to do anything about this, I'm going to do it." It's probably the biggest one for me to surrender because I'm a doer. I see something wrong, I want to fix it. I'm a fixer. Oh, the toilet's broken, I got to fix it. You know, and I make more of a mess trying to fix it than I do anything else. And then I'm calling Peter Heel. "Hey, help with this toilet." It took me forever to leave it alone, let God be God. He can sort out anything better than I can. I mean, there are times, I would try and say, "Oh, I got to fix this problem in this person's life." They didn't even ask me to. I got to fix it. Because I'm a fixer. Till God made me realize, wait a minute, Dev, hands off. You're messing it up. Leave it alone. There are times where God leads me into situations, but you need to be sure it's God leading you and not your own self leading you, but God leads me there, and then God gives you that ability. You just know how to do it. I don't know what God is calling you to surrender today. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's an attitude. But I can promise you, there is not a human being in this building today that God is not calling you to surrender something. He's always dealing with us about something because God is a progressive God. He's always bringing us up higher. He is. 3 John, passage in 1 John says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, as even thy soul prospers." You know what that means? That means, people of God, friends, above everything else, may you feel great. May you have every blessing. May you have every blessing spiritually, socially, financially, mentally, and physically. Every blessing so that you may be happy. Amen? That's God. Wow! How many of you want that? The reward of a surrendered heart is happiness, but it's also healing. Look at this verse 18. I just love this. "For God," that is He, "for He wounds, but He also binds up. He injures, but His hands also heal." I love that. Did you know that that was in there? God actually wounds us so that He might heal us. Think of Jesus for a moment. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and yet every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Amplified says, "For He wounds, but He binds up. He smites, but His hand heals. He will rescue in 6 troubles and 7 nothing that is evil for you will touch you. In famine He will redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shall you be afraid of destruction when it comes. At destruction and famine you shall laugh, neither shall you be afraid of the living creatures of the earth." That's incredible stuff. Praise God for that. Do you see how God provides for you? How He will always provide and protect you. Note this today. Please note, if you reject God's correction on your life, if you reject the brokenness in your heart, then you never get to the rest of what God promises you. You see, we're so great, it's bad, at pulling the stuff out of the Word of God that we really like. Well, the promises of God say, and that's probably one of the most dangerous things that we do with the Bible, is we just pull up the stuff that kind of makes us feel good. And we don't pay attention to the stuff that's kind of ouchy. You know? God wounds, but He also binds up. He smites, but His hand also heals. And it may not be the way you want Him to heal. You understand that? Andrew Murray said, "God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him." Anybody here ever broke anything? Come on. Come on. Some of you haven't. Those in the back haven't broken anything. You can talk to them after how they achieved that. I broke something once. Actually, it was my brother's fault, really. My older and should-be wiser brother. He decided one evening, Mom and Dad were away, and he wanted to engage in a wrestling match. Now, being the extremely muscular person that I am, I realized I was no match for my 6-year-old brother. He was 6 years older than me. Don't think he was 6 years old, please. He was 6 years older than me. And his reason for such a tussle was due to my water pistol aim. I don't know, you know. Let me explain. I mean, I was testing out my new yellow water pistol, and I couldn't help it. I mean, the aim hit him in the eye while he was watching Kojak on TV. I mean, he grabbed for the pistol, and a struggle ensued. And we were grappling with that yellow water pistol, and accidentally I pulled the trigger, sending forth a very precise shot of water to my mom's priceless Trilite heirloom, which was on. It was evening and dark, and one of those tall lamps, you know, beautiful tall lamps, and it's got this beautiful globe, cut glass globe. It's like crystal. And it's, you know what I'm talking about. Anybody seen them? The beautiful antique, you know, glass globe. It's from my grandparents. To say it was gorgeous for an antique is an understatement. It was beautiful. But that water was really no match for the globe. It made contact, and seriously, in slow motion, we froze, my brother and I, just, and we watched it. And we watched that beam of water go and hit the bulb in the globe, and it exploded. Good thing I took that ballet course. And when it exploded, it was the most amazing thing to watch. It was so much fun. But then we knew we had to figure something out. Otherwise, we're going to have to explain what happened upon our parents' return. So I quickly grabbed the crazy glue. I mean, I saw the commercials of the guy with the hard hat, construction worker hanging from a beam. So I thought, well, hey, if I can hold that guy, this is going to hold that light. It's no problem. It'll create just... This is my start of my craftsmanship career. So I used the whole tube to restore the beauty of that light, and I must say, crazy glue gives immediate bond. Did you know that? Because, for instance, I had one piece and I had another piece, and I just thought I didn't match it up, and it was kind of like that, you know, and it stuck. Oh, we didn't break it apart. We just put it to the back towards the wall so nobody'd see it. But my brother had a really good time of prying my fingers off, you know, because I glue it and I get it all over my hands and it, you know, and I'd be stuck. And I'd say, I'm stuck. And he'd pray. We had a ball here. What a blast. I mean, what a great night. He missed Kojak. It was so good. Then we attempted to place this glass menagerie that we put together back on its holder. And it started to teeter, you know, like it wasn't fitting right. Nothing was that. But we got it. You know, we always learned from our father that if you hold your tongue right, you can do anything. And so that's what we did. We held our tongue right, got it on there. It was perfect. We pulled out the vacuum. We quickly cleaned up our mess. Mom and Dad just entered the driveway. We wiped the sweat from our brow, and we sat quietly on the couch. Now, I believe that it was the reading of our school textbooks that gave away to my dad very quickly. As he came in the room, and he said, "What happened?" Now, we thought we had actually gotten away with something with this catastrophe till my mom entered the room, and she asked, "What have you boys been up to all evening?" And it was at that moment, I think, that my brother wanted to wrestle me again, because my lips started to quiver and I couldn't stop crying about how my brother had forced my hand to shoot a straight stream of water into my mom's priceless lamp. My dad said the first thing that he noticed was the vacuumed carpet, and he realized that we must be up to something, you know? Did you know that it's difficult to repair something after it's broken, especially after shattering it into several pieces? Did you know that? What Job 5 says to me is God breaks us into thousands of pieces, but he also watches over us to make sure that we're not destroyed. And he puts us back together even better than we were before. Now, I don't know about you, but I love that. God is the only one that knows exactly how and exactly when and exactly what way to deal with each of us personally. That he can break us, but not destroy us in the breaking. Now, that's why it's so important that we're not Holy Spirit Junior in people's lives. You know, going to them and say, "Hey, wait a minute, I got to try and do something. I got to tell you something." You know, I tell you why. Because we, unless God specifically tells us, we come in too tough, too fast, telling people too many things about themselves, too many things that are wrong with them way before they're ready to receive it, and it overwhelms them and it breaks them in a wrong way, like an antique lamp. That's why the Bible, like in Ephesians, it talks about dads and it talks about sons, and he says don't overcorrect him. Don't be constantly telling him something that's wrong with him, because that breaks their spirit. Breaks their spirit. That's wrong breaking. Let me tell you this morning, God knows how to break us right. God knows how to break us right. Say, "I praise you, God, for breaking me right." Do you believe it? He wounds us that he might heal us. You don't know how glad I am. that I'm here today and those watching through the internet, because this morning your heart can be healed. You can be whole this morning. You see, when I first understood God and had a relationship with him, I thought he could just poof, make things magically happen for me. I prayed, you know, I need money, God, so I could be a big spender in high school. I mean, I want to drop money out, you know. I prayed for people to just, like me, hang out with me. You know, God, I want them in my life. And then I prayed God to remove those people who annoyed me because they hang out with me. I mean, it was a vicious cycle. I was mad at those people that God would use in my life, and then I'd always try and shout, they're not building me up. They're not edifying me. They don't appreciate me. How can they be like that? Wow. God loves to hear these words. I surrender. I surrender. That's the kind of praying that pleases our Heavenly Father. Instead of just giving God a wish list every morning, 15 things we've got to have, or else we don't know if we'll make it to church next Sunday. We're praying for the wrong stuff. We're always praying for things to make us feel better. You can put yourself into the Lord's hands today, and you will feel better. You can say to God this very morning, God, I surrender. I surrender. And I'll tell you, when you do that, you will be healed, and you'll be happy. Because that's the reward of a surrendered heart. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to ask you this morning, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe, I don't know, maybe you need to say, God, I want you to break me. I want you to make me, God, what you want me to be. I want to be a person that walks before you with a broken and contrite heart. Maybe you need to say, God, I want to be somebody that hates what you hate, loves what you love. I want to be grieved over the things that grieve you. God, I don't want to be a shallow, carnal, baby Christian all my life. I want to grow up. Maybe you need to say, God, whatever it takes to grow me up, I give you permission to do that. Whatever you need to do in my life, tie me down when I try to run away, when it starts to hurt. But I can't stay the way I am, God. I can't stay the way I am. Maybe you need to tell him that today. Maybe you need to say, God, I need to change. And I need that happiness. I need that healing in my life. I don't have it, God. I want it. I desperately want it. Heal me today, God. I'm broken. Heal me. Heal me. Maybe you need to say, God, I've tried so many other ways of just trying to bring healing to my life, but it's time for you to heal it. Maybe you're trying to heal relationships instead of giving it to God. Maybe you're trying to heal your circumstances instead of trying to give it to God. Maybe you're trying too hard yourself. It's time to trust God. Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If you're coming to God in that way today, saying, God, I surrender. I surrender all to you. I surrender all to you. Everything. My hurt, my pain, my emotions. I want calmness in adversity, God, as the psalmist said. I want that. I want that level-headedness. I want that stability. I can't handle this anymore. I want healing. I want happiness. God, I want all that stuff. I surrender all. I surrender it all. If you're saying that to him today, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just lift your hand. Just lift it up. I surrender. Lord, bless you. Lord, God sees all those hands. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's circumstances. Maybe it's something you're trying to do too much of, trying to fix it. Maybe, God, I got to surrender that to you. You got to look after it. I can't deal with it. God, I can't deal with it. Yes, Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord, bless you. 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 Maybe need to say, God, I've been Holy Spirit Junior. It's way too long. It's time for me to give that up, God. I need to stop being that way. I'm too upfront. I'm too, just trying to fix things. Maybe need to say that to God today. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. God sees those hands. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Father, this morning we're coming to this table. It's overwhelming to think how you demonstrated surrender. You gave your very life, everything. There were relationship issues, Lord, in that upper room. I mean, there was Judas sitting there and Peter, and you knew it. You knew it was going to come. You just surrendered that to the Father. You just said, it's yours. Lord, may we have that will. That will that just surrenders to you all the time. Because, Lord, we just want to be a people who are blessed. And we know when we ask that, that also means that we're going to be wounded so that you can heal us. God, thank you that you do heal us. Thank you that you give us the happiness and the joy, the fortune that we need each and every moment of our life. God, we surrender it all to you. In Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. I'll ask the elders to come as we prepare the Lord's table. And Pastor Peter. Be seated. For this morning, I just want to, before we come to this table, I want to explain something that, first of all, it's great to have the children here so they can understand really what communion's about. The other thing is that I've asked Pastor Peter to distribute the cup, but I've asked him to do it in Afrikaans. For those who are Afrikaans in here, just you understand that when we pass the cup, it is in honor of our Lord because he gave his life. And as a moment of thanksgiving for that, and he will share that in Afrikaans, and so you'll follow that as he does. This is the Lord's table, and part of that is understanding the diversity of this table. When Jesus surrendered all, he surrendered everything for all, not just for us who live here in Canada, but for those throughout the world. He gave his everything. For the world. He gave his body, which was nailed to that cross, and he shed his blood, drained of him on that cross, just so you and I could enjoy the fullness of heaven, the splendor, the outrageous blessing of God. We've come to this table prepared because we've met God in worship, we've experienced fellowship through the love of Christ, and we have sought guidance from the Holy Spirit and his word. We've encouraged one another, and so we come to this table to partake and remember the surrender of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. As you receive the bread and the cup, please wait to partake of it until we've all received it, and then on my indication and on Pastor Peter's indication, we will partake of it together. I'm going to ask Mandy to pray for the bread, a symbol of Christ's body broken for you and for me.
Our loving Lord Jesus, just want to thank you so much that when you stretched out your arms and died, you created a new people, and we are that people. And I thank you so much for the people who are here, the diversity of the people who are here. And we thank you for your body, which made this all possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you. before you now, in the beauty of your presence, and as I bow, you surround me with your radiance. I worship you. I worship you. I've surrendered to your call upon my heart. I am captured by your passion and desire. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I've surrendered to your call upon my heart. I am captured by you. I worship you.
Read from the Word of God. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Ed will now pray for the cup, a symbol of Christ's blood shed on Calvary for our sins.
Heavenly Father, as we think of how much you surrendered your all as you allowed the soldiers to carry you away and nail you to the cross, where you bled and died so that we could have our sins forgiven. Thank you that you took our place on that cross. Lord, we're the ones that deserve to be there, but you took our place, and thank you for that. And as we partake of this cup, we'll remember what you've done for us, and that it'll become very special to each one of us again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I worship.
I've surrendered to your call upon my heart. I worship you. Before you now, as your loving arms enfold me, at the wonder of your glory, I worship you. I worship you. I've surrendered to
van danksegging is die gemeenskap met die bloed van Jesus Christus. Neem dit, drink dit en glo daaraan dat sy bloed vergiet is tot 'n volkome versoening vir al ons sonde.
For as often as you eat the bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Would you sing that part, I worship?
I worship, I worship you.
Just focus on the Lord.
I worship you. I worship you.
Let's sing we worship as we sing with one voice.
We worship you.
We've surrendered to your call.
We've surrendered.